There is one job every year that I hate. There's one job that I just really don't like doing every single year. Jill, my lovely wife, does all of the Christmas decorations in our house. Occasionally I try and help, and that help is not really needed.
Or wanted.
I do try and sort of like give a little bit of advice every now and again, saying I really think you should do that. But in the end, you just find it's gone back to what it was. There is, however, one job that is always my job, and I don't like it. Every year, Jill says, would you go and put the lights on the outside of the house? And so, to be honest, I'm not usually trusted with ladders, okay? It's not my thing, okay? Heights, I am not very good at. But I have to go outside, and instead of going up a tall ladder, I end up sort of like hanging out of every window with brooms and long sticks with hooks on the end. And in the end, I get the Christmas tree lights up. And in the end, it's probably worth it.
Yeah.
But I don't like it as a job. My daughter-in-law, Sammy, she came down last week. She had a long train journey down from Manchester. She had a meeting in London. She came down to stay with us. I think she was a bit fed up of this long train journey. And I picked her up from the station. We turned into Sefton Avenue. There were the lights. Our house and the other lights. And I think our neighbours, we all try and outdo each other just a little bit. It's not competitive Christmas lights. But suddenly there was this joyful abundance of lights on the house. And the truth of it is, in this, which is probably the darkest, gloomiest time of the year, what do we reach for? For lights. We want light. It makes a big difference. One of the key moments in the birth, in the story of the birth of Jesus, was when God turned the lights on. In the middle of the night, we heard about it last week, he turned the lights on in the middle of the night, and this bunch of shepherds were out on the hill. They had to sleep out. They had to sort of like bivouac out overnight to guard their sheep. They had to stay there with them. And then they were suddenly startled in the middle of the night because God turned a light on. And he said to the shepherds, this son, Jesus, the angel said, Jesus has been born. Now, I would contend with you that Jesus has a habit of turning lights on in dark places. And given that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, I just want us to look for a few moments at the verses that we read earlier, because they assert that Jesus is the light of the world. He says this. He brings life. Jesus, the light of the world, brings life. He reveals things that we can't see, and he shows us the way. And so firstly, Jesus, the light of the world, he brings life. These verses. In the beginning, if you didn't know, this beginning of John is talking about Jesus. When it says word, it's talking about Jesus. And suddenly, if you didn't know that, you read these verses and it suddenly makes sense. Because you think, in the beginning, Jesus already existed. The word was with God and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everybody. Before Jesus was born as this very small, little, vulnerable baby to a working class family in the Middle East, before he was born, he existed. Did you know that there was never a time when Jesus did not exist? Even before time and space began, Jesus was there with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was the divine, pre-existent creator. Does anybody ever like arguing? Put your hands up if you like an argument. Okay. I had a Christmas dinner on Friday. I sat next to a guy. There were a bunch of really quite old People, he just loves an argument. And sometimes for Christmas dinners, I just make the decision I'm not going to drink any. I'm not going to drink any alcohol at all. It's probably easier just that way. But he wasn't like that. Okay, he was up for arguing about anything. It was all good spirited argument, and I quite enjoyed it, if I'm really honest. But he was definitely up for an argument. I also really quite enjoy occasionally. Has everyone engaged with the argument that these two have?
Yes.
It's quite fun. It's quite fun. So you've got this Professor John Lennox, very committed Christian, very committed Bible-believing Christian, and Richard Dawkins, who is probably fair to say the most antagonistic person towards Christianity that you could possibly know. He's one of the most prominent atheists, Richard Dawkins. He ridicules the idea of a creator. He thinks it's quite fun to bait Christians on it. And he asserts that the universe and life started with a simple, self-replicating molecule. It makes sense to him. All you had, the very beginning of life, there was nothing, and then you have a simple, self-replicating molecule that replicates, divides, and out of that comes all of life. Now, these are very, very intelligent guys. They're way above my pay grade in engaging with, discussion with them. But this guy here, John Lennox, has a beautiful argument to him. And he says, great, Richard. Life starts with a simple, self-replicating molecule that divides. What was there that caused a simple, self-replicating molecule to be there? And there's no answer to it. There is no answer to it at all. And John Lennox instead, he says this, that science and faith are not in conflict, but point towards the reality of an intelligent designer who was there at the beginning. It makes more logical sense to believe in the God of the Bible. And the truth of these words, the Word gave life to everything that was created. So we're just talking this story, this morning, the Christmas story this evening, we're talking about Jesus being the light of the world. He came in. But he was always there. There never was a time when he wasn't. And he spoke creation into being. I heard another argument like just this week and said, well, who created God? What would you say to that? It's really hard to answer. Who created God? Well, I'll tell you what happened is that if anybody created God, it's not God. God can't be created. God cannot be created, otherwise he would not be God. And I don't know if anyone has seen this book here, God, the Science, the Evidence. Please don't ask me too much about it, because that's as far as I've gotten, okay? But it's an interesting book, but it's contending now that in modern science, more and more scientists are saying there has to be something above and beyond. There has to be something that actually created an intelligent designer. It's an interesting book, but more and more people are suggesting that there must be a creator who created it all. As Christians, we understand it. Not only was John there... the picture that I could think about the creation, the start of life. The second thing, Jesus, the light of the world, he reveals things. These verses, his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. A film test moment. Does anybody know what that film is from? Come on, tell us. No, you know, because you saw it earlier.
No, I didn't.
You did. Is that anybody else? Not apart from Jill.
Is that Jodie Foster?
Yeah. Yes, it's Jodie Foster. Yes. Anybody else? I mean, it's the key point in this film. No. Silence of the Lambs, Steve. Silence of the Lambs. Jodie Foster plays this incredible FBI agent, Agent Starling, dealing with a serial killer. But the worst bit of it is that Jodie Foster is in complete darkness. She's in this room and she knows there's a serial killer. The only trouble is the serial killer got night vision goggles on. and he sees, and she's walking around there in the dark and the blind. She doesn't know that he is right there, reaching out and touching it. And do you know, this film haunted me for quite a long time. I was scared. It came out in 1991, but it's still like big in my memory. But do you know, there are lots of people that are scared of the dark. Not only just a dark room, but metaphorically, they're scared of what you can't see. And I think every single one of us would probably agree that we do live in a fairly dark moment, with nations trying to annihilate one another, an epidemic of anxiety and loneliness. And I don't know if anybody saw a Channel 4 program on a guy called John Smythe. Serial abuser in the church for many, many years. A tragic situation. We live in dark times. But like switching on a light in a dark room, Jesus shows us something that we couldn't see for ourselves. He reveals something about God and about ourselves and about the world. He reveals something about Jesus. It says in the Bible that Jesus is the exact representation of God. So when we see Jesus, actually, we can understand what God is like, full of truth and purity and holiness and justice and compassion and forgiveness. And he is relentlessly committed to showing us a way to a restored relationship with us. What can he show us about ourselves? That we are broken and flawed and yet loved and valued beyond compare. And that the inner longing to be at peace with our Maker can be found through Jesus. And what can we find out about the world? I think that the world is a beautiful place. It's stunning. It's full of immense promise, yet tragically broken and groaning for redemption. And so when Jesus comes in and he says, "I'm the light of the world," he shows us things that we can't see. He shows us what the world is like and he shows us who we are. And then the last thing I want to say is this, that Jesus, the light of the world, shows us the way. It says it in verse 9, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everybody, was coming into the world. He came into the world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." And so, just like lights on an airport runway, just like a lighthouse on a dangerous coast, just like even the headlights on our cars, Jesus shows us a better way. He shows us a way to salvation. Richard Dawkins, who I mentioned earlier, the very prominent atheist, an interesting guy. Did you know that he spent his whole life like disagreeing with Christianity? He's saying it's better, you might as well just believe in unicorns as you do to believe in Jesus. He spent his whole life mocking it. But last Easter Sunday, 2004, Easter Sunday, do you know what he said? He says, "I now see myself as identifying as a cultural Christian." A cultural Christian. And he said this, "I like to live in a culturally Christian country, even if I don't believe a single word of the Christian faith." How many times have we seen that around us? Keir Starmer, our Prime Minister, who is a self-professed sort of atheist, he said this, that the church plays a unique and vital role in the running of our country. And many people like a society built on Christian values. They like that society. In a time of uncertainty, they like the assurance that Christianity brings. They like all the grand old churches. Did you know what? I would really like to be in a grand old church right now, rather than a school hall. It would be nice architecturally. It's just amazing. It would be so wonderful. And people like all of that stuff. They like the best bits of Christianity. But do you know what? Sometimes they deny the very heart of what the Christian faith is about. They like all the trappings, they like how society works out, but they deny the fact that Jesus was born, he lived, he died, and was resurrected. And I just need to let you know that the Christian faith is not about a national identity. It's not about a flag. It's not about a border. It's about the person of Jesus Christ alone. That is what it is about. Humility, self-sacrifice, love, obedience to the Father. And Jesus comes as the light of the world to speak a better word over us. And these verses, they acknowledge Jesus was a Jew, but he came, but Jewish people didn't accept, many Jewish people didn't accept him. And in these verses here, it says, like, the light has shone, but not everybody will agree with him. And we have agency in this. You might be here, like, somebody's invited you to church, you might not even know why you're here, but like, we can decide on this. We can make a decision. How do we respond to Jesus? But he invites you, even this evening, to believe in him and to accept him. And in a moment, we're just going to pray. I'm going to pray that this Christmas, the light of Jesus would shine in your life, that you would know his love, that you would know his good plan for your life, and that you would know the forgiveness of your sin. But before I do that, if you feel you don't know Jesus and you want to understand Jesus who said he is the light of the world, can I encourage you over Christmas to do one thing? Find a Bible and read the Gospel of John. Just find a Bible. You can read it on your phone if you really want to, but I would say find a Bible. Find a Bible that's a modern translation, the New International Version or the New Living Translation or something like that. But just, you know, you will have time over Christmas, okay? Just to let you know, there will be time. When all the family is around or you've got a moment, just read the Gospel. If you don't know Jesus, read the Gospel of John. G.K. Chesterton, famous writer, said this, that the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and untried. And so if you do not have a faith in Jesus, I'm not going to harangue you, I'm not going to cajole you, I'm not going to bully. All I'm going to say is this, go home and read the book of John. And see if in there you can see Jesus who is the light of the world. The second thing that I'd ask you to do is, on the 18th of January, we're starting an Alpha course. And we're going to start an Alpha course just over the road at Trinity Centre on the 18th of January. It's going to run for 10 weeks. It is a hugely brilliant way of just exploring the Christian faith. And it works like this. Every Sunday evening you get together and you have a meal. That's quite a good start. That's quite a good place to start in any case. And then we have a short talk on a different aspect of Christianity. It's probably about 30 minutes. And then you get around together and you ask as many awkward questions as you possibly can. And it works better. The more awkward the question, the better it goes. And we have a discussion around it to try and understand who this Jesus is. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to pray in a moment. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he will shine his love into your lives today. Can I ask you to stand, please? Father, we thank you that this Christmas time we celebrate your arrival. There's never been a time when you haven't existed, Jesus, but we celebrate your birth. We celebrate God becoming flesh. We celebrate the light of the world coming to us. And we ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and meet with us? Holy Spirit, would you draw close to us? Holy Spirit, would you come and meet us where we need you, O Lord? Father, we thank you.